اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة، آت محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة، وبعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته، إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. وقال تعالى: يمنون عليك أن أسلموا قل لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم أن هداكم للإيمان إن كنتم صادقين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and friends, all praise is due to Allah Rabbul Izzah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has looked at each and every one of us with His nigah and His gaze of rahmat and mercy. It was a gaze of love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that today you and I and whoever is a believer in the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is only the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has bestowed us with this favor. The incident is famous, and in repeating it, it is only a means of our strengthening and our increasing that shukr and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that most of us may not be related to him in our lineage. We haven't seen him and we have not assisted him physically and to his personal self in any way. On the other hand, if we look at Abu Talib, he was the blood relative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something that has been recorded in the kitabs. Together with this, he also assisted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the extent that when that boycott had taken place, Abu Talib, despite not being a believer, he also underwent this boycott, which it is mentioned that resulted also in his leaving this world. When the time came for him to pass away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to him out of concern for his uncle, that, "Oh my uncle, recite this kalima la ilaha illallah and accept me, so that on the day of Qiyamat, you also may become worthy of my intercession." Due to that arrogance and the pride and the concern of what his people would say, he rejected and he refused to recite this kalima and he died on kufr. Naturally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who even when a Jew would pass away without iman, he would become grieved. Here it was his uncle who had left this world without iman. He had become grieved and saddened. Upon this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed the ayat, "Innaka la tahdi man ahbabta, walakinna Allah yahdi man yasha." That, "O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed, you will call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will give da'wat towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards this kalima, but hidayat and the heart opening to accept this kalima, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I give to only whomsoever I love." So being a believer in the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no ordinary thing. It is something which, due to it maybe being something that is so commonly found, or it is something that, because we have it, so to say, on the plate, we do not treasure it. Just as is the case with any other thing that is extremely important, extremely valuable. If we look at the air around us, the example of air, water, when these things become common, then that importance does not set upon our hearts. But just being a believer in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is already giving us this assurity that if you can live up to the dictates of this kalima and you leave this world with this kalima, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that entry into Jannah. However, respected elders and friends, this kalima will only be a means of salvation from the fire of Jahannam if a person lives up to the dictates and requirements of this kalima. We understand that on the day of Jummah, how we gather in large numbers, different masajid throughout the world, and then bigger gatherings we have witnessed, like the day of Eid, and those of us that have been for Hajj on the plains of Arafat, even more, in a more huge number, a greater congregation gathers. But there is one gathering that is going to come, and that gathering will be from Adam ala Nabiina alayhi salam right until the last baby to be born on the surface of this earth. Each and every human being will be gathered on that day, and that will be in Maidan al-Hashr on the day of Qiyamah, when every human being will gather before Allah Rabbul Izzah to give account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Majid, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. That do you think that you have just been created in this world so that you may live a life of amusement, of entertainment, and you will not come back to us? Indicating to us that as believers, we have to see and we have to make sure that our lives do not resemble the lives of those that disbelieve in any way. The life of a believer can never be the same as that of the life of a disbeliever. Indeed, for them in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. That this world is their jannat, for they have no true and authentic concept of the hereafter, of the akhirat. Maybe they have some, due to some of them following the kitabs of the past, although they were changed and altered, but there is some concept of Jannat, of Jahannam. But the fundamentals of the kalima, of where a person has to believe in that oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and live his life according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Majid, and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is not found. They eat what they want, they wear what they want, they listen to what they want, they do what they want, they spend their wealth in avenues which they desire. If this is the condition of a believer, then unfortunately, the only difference that will be between a Muslim and a non-Muslim will be the name. On the day of Qiyamah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَا يَزَالُ قَدَمَا عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ خَمْسٍ. That a person will not be able to move from his place until he will be questioned about a few things. An umri fima afna. He will be questioned about his entire life, about the actions of his life, and in more specific, wa an shababihi fima abla. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make reference to a person's youth, that when a person had strength in his body, and he had the ability to do whatever he wanted, he had the ability to follow his desires, did he do so, or did he caution himself according to commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اتَّسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَ. He will be questioned about his wealth. That was his only focus, how I may accumulate the wealth of this world. Irrespective of whether the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is broken or not, whether there is interest or not, whether the right of someone else is being usurped or not, whether someone is being deceived by me in my business or not, a person will be questioned. In this world, a person may be able to deceive people. He may be able to conceal himself, portray himself as somebody who is righteous and pious. But respected elders and friends, Allah Rabbul Izzat is our Khaliq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created us. He has sent us into this world. Whatever ni'mat we have, whatever gift and bounties we have, whether it is of the physical type, whether it is of the material type, even of the spiritual type, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything is under the nigrani and the supervision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our intellects are limited. We cannot understand this. But we believe in it. That is why we are called believers. إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. Every limb of a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question him about it on the day of Qiyamah. But unfortunately, we know that when we are sent into this world, a man does not come into this world on his own. Instead, he is sent with two enemies or adversaries who he has to contend with. Firstly, being that of nafs, a person's carnal desires, which are within him. And secondly, shaitan. Shaitan is that one who will put the waswasa and the whispering to do evil, who will tempt a person to go in the wrong direction, who will tempt a person to break the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let us ask ourselves, that which one of us ever heard shaitan speaking to us? Indeed, we know there is shaitan, but we haven't heard him speaking to us. Respected elders and friends, the reason for this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in the Quran Majid, that we cannot see him. And he whispers into the heart, sometimes the thought that comes, that thought and temptation, that is indeed a whispering of shaitan. For a believer, he on his own will not go towards haram. Rather, that thought will have to be put in. Either it will come through his nafs, or by a shaitan, and then a person is led into haram. يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautions us, that shaitan, he will promise you, he will give you false hopes, that if I have to engage in this kind of haram, if I have to listen to music, for example, or I have to indulge in zina, then I will find happiness, and I will find a peace of contentment in my heart. But وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that what shaitan is promising you is only a deception. That a person has to understand, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ that we have to live this world as a preparation for the hereafter. A person cannot be negligent his entire life, that a person feels that my object in this world is only to earn for myself either or only for my family, and that is the be-all and the end-all of everything. No. When a person will leave this world, there is definitely going to come a time when a person is going to leave this world. Even an atheist, a person who does not believe in any deity, a person who's got no deen at all, but there is something that the entire universe, entire humanity, they all have agreed upon, and they are unanimous, that that is something that is inevitable. A person knows he is going to pass away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for us. He has given us iman, he has given us this understanding, that when a person passes away, then that is not the end of everything. Instead, it is only the beginning. There is only one chance in this life. As they say, either we make it or we break it. That when a person will go into the qabr, there is an incident mentioned. Mufti Taqi Sahib mentions the incident of a buzurg by the name of Bahlul Rahmatullah Ali. And he was a person of such high taqwa and such high levels of piety that he had total disinclination towards this dunya and this world. And his nature was such that he would speak in a jovial, or so to say, a way that would humor people. That was his way of speaking and advising people. Harun Rashid also was a very pious king, and to gain entrance into his court and to speak to him, obviously you had to pass through a certain amount of guards or whatever it was. But Bahlul, he understood Bahlul to be somebody who was pious, and he enjoyed his company. Therefore, he had told the guards that whenever Bahlul, rahmatullah alayhi, wants to come and see me, then do not stop him, allow him to come. And on one occasion, in jest, when Bahlul had come to him, He used to always laugh and joke and treat him as just a jester and a comedian because of the relationship that they had between themselves. So on one occasion, Harun Rashid, he had a stick with him. In some narration it is mentioned a small knife. And he told Bahlul, just by way of humoring him, that take this knife or the stick, whatever it was, and when you find someone who's more, you can say foolish, in other words, someone who behaves more foolish than you, then you must give it to him. But for now you keep it, implying to him that at the moment I regard you as a person who is foolish, a person who is, so to say, just there to humor us and to amuse us. Bahlul, in his normal way, in his simple way, he took it and he also showed that, okay, he will try and he will try to find somebody who is more foolish than him. Nevertheless, this was their relationship. After a few years had passed, Bahlul heard that Harun Rashid was extremely sick, extremely ill, and he was on his deathbed. So he came to see his friend, he came to see the king. And then he asked the king that what is the problem. So Harun Rashid, also being a pious person, he sees that I've got a very long journey in front of me. So he asked him that, where are you going? Bahlul asks him that, where are you going? He says, no, I'm going now to the Akhirat, and it's a very long journey. So Bahlul, again in a simple way, he asks him, so when are you coming back? For how many days you'll be gone? So he says, again, now at this time you're talking like a foolish person again, you ask me when I'm coming back. There's no coming back from this journey. So he says to Harun Rashid, so your armies and your preparations you've sent already ahead, I'm sure, that you've sent quite a few of your, part of your caravan forward, as normally you, when any small journey you wish to undertake, ahead of you, you send preparations and you send food, etc., to make your stay comfortable. So have you sent already your men forward? And how many did you send? So he says, but this is for the Akhirat, and you cannot send anybody ahead. And when you go, you will go alone. So Bahlul asked him that you haven't sent anybody, no food, no one also in front of you, ahead of you. So again, he replies in the negative. And he says that, why are you asking me so foolish questions? Then Bahlul says to him that such a long journey, a journey where you will be alone, a journey where your wealth will not come to avail, and you did not send anything forward. He takes out that knife or that stick and he says, I looked for all these years for someone more foolish than me, but today I'm giving back this amanat to you, that for such a long journey where you will be alone, you haven't made any preparations, today I don't see anyone more foolish than yourself. Giving us a lesson where Harun Rashid himself, he begins to cry and he admits and he says that, oh Bahlul, everyone regarded you as a comedian and foolish. Indeed, we are the ones who are in a deception with regards to the wealth of this world, but indeed you are the wise one, that the true journey and the true life will be the life of the hereafter. Respected elders and friends, life is extremely short. A person who is young, shaitan puts him in a deception that you still have to become old. A person who is old, shaitan deceives him with the hope of accumulating so much amount of wealth, with the hope of either retirement or different aspirations shaitan puts in his heart, that how I can work towards this dunya, how I can work towards the ease and comfort of this world. Indeed, to go out and earn is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a person, as it is mentioned, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, it is mentioned from him that he had stated that this world and the life in this world, it is a bridge to the Akhirat. A person should cross it. A person should not build on it. That means a person should make his priority deen, that how he should see that everything in my life is according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because once a person leaves this world and he goes into the qabr, then his eyes will open. At the moment we are just in a world of deception. When a person will go into his qabr, then if he had been disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he had not been living his life according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will regret and it could be too late for that. This leaving out the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes it is because of a person's own desire, that how will I look in society, in my workplace, how will I look if I follow the sunnah 100% in my life, or sometimes it is because of the family. But when a person goes into the qabr, that very same family, those friends, those colleagues, whoever it was that we had left out the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not be there with us. It is mentioned of a father, just one point before we conclude, that together with ourselves we have to save our families. And there's an incident mentioned of where in Saudi Arabia a person, he had a television in his house, and he and his family, they used to watch. In this world we can argue with all the muftiyani kiram and the ulama, and we can justify it and say there is nothing wrong with watching this and that. But this person, nevertheless, he passed away, and his family, they had buried him, and his friend in Riyadh had seen a dream that this person is being tormented and punished in the qabr, and he is shouting out and he is screaming out in pain. And then he speaks to his friend and he says that, why is this happening to you? And he says that this is because I have passed away and my wrongs have come to an end. But the TV which I have left with my family, they continue to watch it. I was responsible for the tarbiyat. I was responsible to see for the Islamic environment. That guna is continuing there. I am continuing to get azab in the qabr. This friend, immediately he takes a flight and he goes to that particular place, wherever it was, in Saudi Arabia. And he speaks to the family. They remove the TV. When he returns home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him again that now his friend is in ease and comfort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the realization that one day we are going to stand before him and give accountability. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.